You graduates have reached a milestone in your lives. Your future is filled with uncertainties. First, there are personal uncertainties. Where will you go to school next year? If you are a college graduate, where will you work next year? How will the economy affect you finding a job? Are we in a recession? Who will you marry in the future? How many children will you have? Where will you live? Will there be any terrorist attacks? How devastating will they be? What will the rising gas prices do to the economy, do to your job? Life is filled with uncertainties. What I want to share with you today are five certainties that you can count on no matter how uncertain life might be. And these certainties are certain because they do not depend on you. If they depended on us, we'd be in trouble because we are not able to be certain about everything. But they depend on God. Therefore, you can count on these five certainties. They were true 2,000 years ago. They will be true 2,000 years from today. And in the sea of uncertainty, when the waters rage, these five certainties will serve as an anchor to hold you steady, to hold you in place in that sea of uncertainty. They're found over in Romans chapter 8. Take your Bibles, turn over to Romans chapter 8. We'll be reading verses 31 through 39 as we see five certainties for uncertain times. Respect for the Word of God, let me ask you to stand as we begin to read. I'll be reading beginning in verse 31. Paul says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You may be seated. May God bless the reading, the hearing, and most of all the obeying of his word. The first certainty that you can be certain of as a Christian, and all of these pertain only to those who are God's children, only to those who are Christians. You can be certain as a Christian that God is on your side. See, Paul asked the question in verse 31, "What then shall we say? If God is for us, who is against us?" Well, how would you answer that question? If God's for you, who is against you? Well, obvious to me, the devil is against me, right? Sometimes other people might be against me. And unfortunately, sometimes I'm against myself. You've been there too, haven't you? But Paul is saying that if God is on your side, then no one and no thing that matters can be against you. He knows that there'll be people who'll be against you, but his point is, look, if God's on your side, it really doesn't matter who else is against you. In other words, Paul is saying God plus one makes a majority. God plus one makes a majority. When God's on your side, it doesn't matter who is against you. If Satan and all of his demons and the whole world are against you, when God is on your side, you are on the winning side. Gideon found out that God plus one makes a majority. Gideon took 300 soldiers and he defeated 135,000 of the Midianites. God plus one makes a majority. Jonathan, King Saul's son, understood this truth. They were fighting against the Philistines, and the Philistines were over in their camp, and Israel was over in their camp, and Jonathan and his armor bearer went out to where the Philistines were, and he saw a garrison of them. And look at what he said to his armor bearer in 1 Samuel 14:6. Then Jonathan said to the young man who was carrying his armor, "Come, let us cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Perhaps the Lord will work for us. For the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few." What he was saying is, though it's just two of us, and there are 20 of these soldiers in this camp out here, that if God wants to, He can give us the victory. Because God doesn't have to use a lot of people to save. He doesn't have to use a few people to save. He can do whatever He wants. And the story goes on to say, Jonathan and his armor bearer went up and defeated 20 of these enemy soldiers. Two defeated 20 in an area about the size of this worship center. And maybe just a little larger. Two against 20. Because when God's on your side, you are in the majority. When Jesus is on your side, He will never leave your side. The writer of Hebrews expresses this same truth in Hebrews chapter 13 when he says, "For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not be afraid. What will man do to me?" You see the word forsake? It means to leave in a lurch. It means to leave in a hard place. Jesus says, I will never leave you in a lurch. I will never leave you in a hard place. I will always be with you. No matter what uncertainties the future holds, you can be certain, graduates, that Jesus is on your side. And when Jesus is on your side, you are on the winning side. Second certainty. As a Christian, you can be certain that God will meet every need that you will ever have in the future. Verse 32, Paul says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" Now, Paul is arguing from the greater to the lesser. Paul basically says, look, now let's be reasonable. If God gave you the greatest gift He could give you, if God made the greatest sacrifice He could make by giving His own Son to take on your sin, to pour His wrath on His own Son for Him to die in your place, then why in the world would God hold anything lesser back from you? I mean, He's already given you the greatest gift He could give. So it would not make any sense that He'd hold anything else back that you would need, would it? You know, if I gave you my house because you needed it, would it make sense that I would hold back my fountain pen if you needed it? No, I've already given you my house. And so Paul says, God's already given us the greatest thing there is. So you don't have to worry. If you have a need in the future, God will provide that need. And it says that He will freely do so. Now the root word there for freely is a word for grace. In other words, God will graciously, lavishly give you all things that you need. Any and everything that you need in life, He'll give it to you. Because He hadn't held back the greatest gift. Now, obviously, there's a distinction between what we need and what we want, isn't it? never promised to meet our wants, but He's promised to meet our needs. And so you can be certain that in the uncertain future that stands before you, and you will have needs, and you will have needs that are greater than you can meet, but you can be absolutely certain that as a Christian, God is not only able to meet your needs, but He loves to do so, and He will freely and lavishly do so. Now, I stand before you as a man who's been a Baptist preacher since he was 24 years old. As you know, I have raised 6 kids, 4 daughters, married the last one off yesterday, thank Jesus. And even on a Baptist preacher's salary, and we've had needs through the years, but they've never gone without a meal, never gone without what they needed clothes-wise, medical-wise, living-wise. God's provided. So I can tell you, you'll not have a single need. Now, He hadn't given us all at once, but He hadn't promised to. He's given us some. But every need, we have never had any need go unmet. Now, sometimes He'll hold you out, so you trust Him before He meets it, but He will ultimately meet every need lavishly and freely. So you can count on that. Don't worry about the future. How can I? What if? He will provide. Next, third thing you can count on. As a Christian, you have the certainty that God will forgive you no matter what. Paul says in verses 33 and 34, who will bring a charge against God's elect? Who is the one who justifies? Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is He who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Now, Paul again is asking another question. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? Kind of like the same question before, who can be against you? Okay, who can bring a charge against you? Well, Satan can, and he does. The demons can. And you can even bring a charge against yourself. Let's face it, even as Christians, we do sin. And when we sin, let me tell you, Satan doesn't wait to accuse you. He is quick to accuse. And we even accuse ourselves, don't we? We know when we've sinned, and we feel awful about it. Satan condemns us, and we many times condemn ourselves. But now look at the next question. That's the key. Who is the one who condemns? And so let me ask you, who is the only one who can condemn you and it really matter? Satan can condemn you, but does it matter what he says? You can condemn yourself, but does it really matter what you say? The only one who can condemn you, and it really matters, is God. Who is the only one who can send you to hell? God. The devil can't send you to hell. You cannot send yourself. And so what Paul is saying is, who can really bring a charge, an accusation against God's children, and it really matter? Only God can. And then he says, but God's the one who's justified you. God's the one who's declared you not guilty. God is the one who's given you the no condemnation status. And you see the word justified? It could be said, just if I'd never sinned. That's what it means. God declares you as His child without sin. Just if I'd never sinned. You see, when Jesus, and Paul goes on to say, look, Jesus died for you. And he kind of gives a picture now, a word picture. He says, Jesus is in heaven with the Father. He has the wounds in His hand where He died for you and bore your sins on the cross. And when you sin and Satan wants to accuse you, Jesus can just stand there before the Father and say, look, I paid the price for those sins. I've paid the guilt for his sins, for her sins. They're not guilty. I took their guilt. They are guiltless. It's just if they had never sinned. So Paul says you can be certain as a believer that no one can condemn you that matters. Because God has already declared you righteous. He has pardoned you. Not paroled you, but pardoned you. He's wiped the slate clean. Because Jesus took your guilt, the punishment you deserved, upon Himself. And not only for the sins that you have already committed, but the truth is, for any sin you will ever commit in the future. And for those who might think, well, if that's the case, man, I can go up and sin all I want. Well, Paul says, if you've died to sin, how can you live in it? So if your attitude is, well, since I've been forgiven, I can go sin all I want, then you better check and see if you really know Christ. You've heard me say before, I do sin all I want. I sin more than I want. Right? Because as a believer, you don't really want to sin at all. And so the one who's truly been born again by the Spirit of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, you can be certain, no matter what you do, you can never change your no condemnation status. Jesus intercedes for you. The certainty of forgiveness is not conditioned on us, but it is conditioned on Jesus Christ and what He accomplished. Therefore, you can be certain that you can never change that certainty. The fourth certainty. You can be certain that God will always love you no matter what happens. Here, verses 35 and 36, Paul says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And then he goes on to say in verse 38, I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can happen to you in the future that will separate you from God's love. Paul covers the gamut of human experiences. First, he covers adversities, hardships that we might encounter. You see, when you experience these things, it does not mean God does not love you. Nothing can separate you from God's love. It seems that when we go through adversities and difficulties and stresses and pressures, what do we think? Uh-oh, God doesn't love me anymore. God is out to get me. Never judge God's love by looking at your circumstances. Judge God's love by looking at the cross. The reason you cannot judge God's love by looking at your circumstances is because you don't really understand your circumstances. You cannot see your circumstances from God's perspective. It's like that person that does the needlepoint. You know, it's that beautiful picture, but if you turn it upside down, man, you can't make heads or tails out of it, can you? It's a heads or tails. You can't make heads or tails out of it, can you? Heads or tails. All right, you can't make ends meet out of it, right? It looks crazy. And that's the way your circumstances look to you. They don't make sense. They don't look like everything's going, but God sees them as that beautiful needle point, and it makes a perfect picture. That's why you can never judge God's love by your circumstances, because you don't know how God's working. But you can look at the cross and see His love there as Jesus died for you, as He took your place and suffered hell for you on that cross. Nothing can separate you from God's love in Christ Jesus. Nothing above the earth, nothing beneath the earth, nothing. And the fifth certainty. You can be certain that God is the Almighty on His throne, and you will be victorious. Verse 37. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. Now because God is the sovereign ruler of the universe, you will have victory over life. Not only be victorious, but look what Paul says. We will overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. Now to conquer means to defeat the enemy. But Paul adds this overwhelmingly. Now, this word means over and above. It means to be a super victor. To conquer means you neutralize the enemy. To overwhelmingly conquer means you take that enemy and he actually benefits you. Not only have you defeated him, but now you put him to work for your benefit. Paul says, these events, all these things that we look at and say, man, that's bad. Even though we may be called on to be martyrs, for your sake we're being put to death all day long, he says. Even though you may be called on to give your life, you will still be victorious. Meaning that not only will this thing be neutralized by God's work in your life, but it will actually benefit you. How does it benefit you? Romans 8, 28, 29, right? God causes all things to work together for good. To those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of Christ. You know, God is in the business of conforming you to Jesus. That means knocking off the rough edges. And these adversities, these distresses, these persecutions and famine and peril and sword are knocking off the rough edges to make you like Jesus. Therefore, you overwhelmingly conquer. That marriage you're in is God's molding place to make you like Jesus. And when you mold something, you have to exert pressure. And there's no place like marriage for that pressure. Right? And heat. A little fire thrown in there. But God's molding. He's molding you. He's pressing you into the image of Christ. And you can be certain that as a Christian, that no matter what comes your way, you will come through victorious. Graduates, there are many uncertainties in the future that await you. But no matter what they are, if you'll take these five certainties and hold on to them by faith, you can weather any storm. That God is on your side. You can be certain of that. Nothing will change it. God will meet every need that you will ever have. God will always forgive you no matter what. Nothing can separate you from God's love. And you will come through this life victorious. Let's pray. We thank You, God, that You've given us those five certainties that all of us as Christians can hold on to. Though we live in uncertain times, You are our anchor. You're our solid rock. And we can stand firmly on You, Lord Jesus. In His name I pray. Amen. want to give you an opportunity today, if you've never come to that place of placing your faith in the Lord Jesus. There's another certainty that I didn't mention today. This certainty applies to everyone, not just to Christians. And that certainty is that apart from Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity in hell. That you have sinned against the Holy God. You have fallen short of His glory. You cannot earn His acceptance. You cannot buy your way into heaven. You cannot ever do enough good works to undo the wrong you've done. Those truths are certain as well. And it is a certain fact that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll come to Christ in faith, believing He did everything necessary for your salvation, He lived that life you couldn't live, a perfect life. He took your place on that cross. You and I should have been there, not Him. But He took our place in love. And He defeated death, came alive, and He ascended into heaven. And He offers you and I eternal life as a free gift that you receive through faith. If you come in faith, surrendering your will to His will as Lord, you can be certain that He will forgive you of your sins. Jesus says, all who come to Me, I'll in no wise cast out. I don't care what you've done. You'll come to Christ. He'll receive you. He'll wash you clean. He'll give you a new slate. The Bible says you'll be a new creature. You'll start off fresh with Jesus. This is your heart's desire. As we stand and sing, would you step out and take my hand?